this sheer act of grace shifted me from complete fear, from suicide ideation, from depression, to that night, even though I was disconnected from my emotions, disconnected from my thoughts, disconnected from life, I experienced something I'll never forget. I was in my hot tub that night, and I experienced a spiritual joy. And my whole path then has been about finding the spiritual joy, peace, and love that goes beyond thought, goes beyond emotion. That is God, the spirit that is in you, that resides. It's not your emotions. A lot of people, like some people, even spiritual communities, associate it with, it's just how you feel, it's how you feel. Yes, your feelings are important, but what happens when you feel so disconnected that you can't even feel God's presence? You still have to have the faith that God's there. And somehow, some way, I was able to hold on to faith. And because of that, I opened myself up to grace. And this moment forever changed my life. And I look back on it with so much gratitude. It's still not perfect, but for the most part, I look back on it with so much gratitude.
The Fearless and Successful Podcast is hosted by your hype girl D, and it's designed for change makers just like you. As an activator of human potential and freedom architect, I have one mission with this podcast: to show you that you can be, do, and have anything you desire. I love all things money, mindset, and manifestation. I am so excited to share my personal hacks to help you activate your infinite potential. And I also will be sharing fearless stories from leaders around the world who designed life and business on their own terms. Remember, if we can do it, so can you. Fearless soul, if you're ready to dream big and make impact, let's get this party started. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, beautiful, fearless souls. Oh my goodness. When I say this, and you have to believe me, you are up for a real, uncensored, vulnerable, raw, authentic treat, because I have this beautiful, beautiful soul that I had a privilege and honor, and the most like beautiful feeling when I met him, he totally like teared me up with his authentic presence, saving karma. Brother, I'm so happy that you took the time and joined me and just, you know, share your message and truth. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I'm nearly tearing up just hearing you and the impact that I've had, because one thing I love to know is the impact, the depth of impact that I have on people. You know, sometimes it's easy to get caught up in like, how many people am I impacting? But once I realize like how deeply I can touch just you, the number doesn't matter anymore. It's just like, this is infinite presence. And it's just an honor.
I love it. Yeah. It's always, we get so stuck into this, like I want to make a huge impact. I know that I'm meant for more, but when it comes to that, I really, really, really listen to this person, and I see this person being so touched by my message. That's everything. That's everything, right?
Yeah.
And you are not just someone who is like, oh my God, like when I heard you talk on the Mind Valley stage, I was like, you know, our sister Carrie was introducing you, and I was like, if Carrie says that he did some real magic on her, he has to be a real deal. I'm like, I'm curious. Let me see this. You know, what is he gonna pull up? And I was like, from the moment, like for the first second, I was like so mesmerized. And it wasn't the what you were talking about. It was the feeling that you portrayed, and you like really like the room was enchanted by your beautiful, authentic energy. And I want to know, now you are this incredible, wherever you go, people feel your energy. Like it's so pure and so real, and it's so lovable. Tell me, what was life before that?
Yeah, it's a great question. And Just want to take a moment to take in everything you said and just say thank you so much for, it's taken a lot of work to get to the place where I can step into a room and not in an arrogant way, but just in a confident way that I know who I authentically am. I know why I'm here and I can laser beam that energy so that all the people that are meant to be magnetized to me will be magnetized by the energy. And I'll be honest, like some people I found out later in the speaker reviews didn't like my talk, believe it or not, but authenticity is a polarizing vibration. It's really going to pull in the people that are meant to love you in this lifetime. And it's going to push away the people that aren't. And I think what my words do is that in my presence does is it instantly cuts down the line of like, this is me, take it or leave it. So wasn't always like this. I grew up actually as, I don't know if you know this, I think you might know this, as an identical quadruplet. So I had three brothers that are identical to me. And imagine getting so much attention for being a quadruplet, being on national TV, super popular in elementary school. And just this message kept coming that I'm not worthy as an individual. I'm only worthy in relationship to my brothers. I'm only worthy for my collective identity. Somebody see me for who I am as an individual. I don't feel seen. What does a kid do who feels so invisible and so unseen for who he is on the inside, only seen and on the outside for how he looks compared to his brothers? He's like, okay, I'll be perfect. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll stand out in hockey. I'll date the most girls. I'll get the best grades. I'll eat no junk food for 3 years. Skate on the ice 8 hours a day. True stories. Be the most disciplined. Beat myself to the ground just to prove that I'm worthy of love and attention for being an individual, just to outdo my brothers. That is how I've spent, and I'm still undoing this programming, the majority of my life as an identical quadruplet. So just being an identical quadruplet has really shaped who I am, but it's just been like so difficult when you deal with so much comparison, so much judgment, so much division, so much unworthiness. And it really took a massive depression that I suffered when COVID happened. I was, tell the story, I was dating four girls at the same time. This is where I was at. And I was at the best university, one of the best in the United States, and the best major, going from city to city, like had the life or whatever. And all the girls fought in my life during COVID, all the grade stuff, I couldn't identify with any anymore because COVID took it all away. And my brothers hated me. And I remember one of my brothers left the YouTube channel we were doing, all my brothers left. And I felt so abandoned, so alone that I spent the next 24 hours like in depression, unable to move out of my bed for the first time in my life. And I said, in that moment, and if somebody gets this, this can change your whole life. In the moment of suffering, I said, there has to be more to life and this is not it. What I've been doing so far has led me to this point, and there's got to be more to life. Well, the universe, God, source, divine, hears that. And all of a sudden, even though I didn't believe in that at the time, and there's even a higher force out there, not really. And all of a sudden, I was in the gym one day, and I was listening to Impact Theory by Tom Bilyeu, and a voice comes on, Avishan Lakhiani, and he's talking about surrender versus the hustle myth and how there's a new way where you don't have to beat yourself to the ground. I'm like, yes, this is me. And there's a better way where you can surrender to life itself. And he referenced Michael Singer's Surrender Experiment, which I love. And I would later find on an acid trip, which was another huge pull for me. And I committed the rest of my life to living that kind of life ever since I read that book. But it just, that was the first sign that I was meant to walk this alternative, what I call my soul's authentic path. I just followed it. I followed it. I joined Mind Valley, like the membership. I got in my first quest, Speaking Inspired by Lisa Nichols. That's how I ended up joining an institute that combines coaching and healing. That's how it led me to the Surrender Experiment. And I just started walking this path. These consistent leaps of faith, if someone gets this, consistent leaps of faith outside what I thought I knew, leaps into the unknown, rather than doing what I've always known, because what I've always known brought too much suffering. And when the suffering outweighs is too great, you will find a different way. You'll do whatever it takes. And so I'm like, I just started following this path of faith where I just take leaps of faith into what I don't know. I joined an institute that can buy coaching. It was $6,000. I didn't have it. I put the first payment down. The 4,000 came instantly. It's like the whole universe, God supports me for making these leaps of faith. And I've been walking this path for almost 4 years now. I would have never met the love of my life. I would never be writing my book on this whole story. I would never be at this podcast. I would never be in Estonia. I would never be leading this mission or have this vibration that I do if it wasn't for the deep suffering I suffered and my decision. I remember also I was on an acid trip with the last girl I was dating. She flew from Chicago to San Diego during COVID, 2 months in, to see me, brought acid. And I heard this voice inside that I began to trust. I call it the voice of God. You can call it intuition, gut feeling, whatever. And it said, you need to stop dating girls for a while and you need to not go back to University of Notre Dame. My dad was so pissed when he, not the girls part, he was fine with that. When I told him I'm not going back to the University of Notre Dame, he was pissed. He's like, how can you do this? And all his logic came in. I said, Dad, you have to trust me. I just know I still have not gone back to this day. I still plan on going back, but my soul's mission, my soul's vision is too big. And it was calling me, and I was being nudged and pulled at this age. And out of the suffering was born the transformation.
So many like good nuggets, but I want to go into surrender because that has been my path. I would say it started like in 2020 when I really, really, really dive into more of who am I being and at what am I doing. Same story. I'm a middle kid, you know. It's a bit middle kid syndrome is huge because you want to be seen. I have an older sister, younger brother, and it was always like same. Recognition, validation, all of that. I craved so much from my parents that I literally hit everything. Like, you know, everything in our family that was never achieved, I achieved it. And I felt so unfulfilled. Before I moved, 10 years ago, before I moved to Sweden. And I remember this huge release, like huge release. I say no to everything that I knew to up to my 30 years of this life. I said no to everything to go into unknown and just surrender and trust. Just trust that this is my own path, that now after 30s, like I'm building my own path. And you know, after 40, when I got divorced, like, oh, there I go again. Like everything that I knew up to this point, I'm letting it go and I'm surrendering to unknown. And I think that when you make a decision that you're just gonna trust, that you're gonna have faith, and I started to believe in God just recently, or in the connection. I never stopped believing in God. It was just this connection because my, yeah, that was like a story. So when I started to really have this back, this faith, just faith in myself and faith in life and faith in people, you know, this faith in, I do honestly believe that everyone is good on this planet. They just need love. And I think, you know, that's what I believe. And tell me like how it was for you. For me, it was very, very painful to just surrender because it's always that hustle mentality and we need to just, you know, achieve, approve. Let's grab all the titles, you know, let's knock out all the goals. How it was for you to actually trust that voice of God and just to surrender. Do you struggle with going back to that, oh, I'm not gonna listen to you. You know, here's the ego. Like, this is a good decision. I know here, you know, here is like the heart doesn't know. How are you actually dealing with that?
It's very difficult, even to this day, because I have 20 something plus years of programming the other way. But I believe that life meets you where you're at. So life never asked me in the beginning to surrender everything and threw everything in my face and said, this is off, this is off, this is off, this is off, or not, I don't want to say wrong, but this is what you need to let go of. I didn't throw that all in my face. I didn't enter my dark night of the soul right away. I did now, and I'm still coming out of that. And I did enter my darkest period of that a year and a half ago, but it took time. And I went with, so I want to see what's on my heart for a second. I just went with, it seemed to give me like in surrender experiment, it seemed to give me a series of nudges, like here's a direction you could go, here's a direction you could go. And it's like surrender. Someone gets this, like it's just a piece by piece thing. Like if you just are willing and intend that I'm going to learn to surrender. And I said, after I read Surrender Experiment on Acid Trip, I commit the rest of my life to surrendering. And I never forget that I was with my cousin and we're on acid trip, and this strange truck came into our cul-de-sac, and its lights came in, and the shadows hit the wall, and we just started dancing with our arms like in the shadow. And I was like, we were made a joke. This is our first act of surrender. That's how small it can be. It doesn't have to be a big thing. it was a few weeks later that life's rewarded me and said, okay, you've had faith, Saban. Here's a bigger thing. Here's this institute that combines coaching and healing, the 6,000. Are you going to make this investment? And once that happened, then it was like, okay, now you're going to this person's CEO's house, meet this healer. Now you're meeting Kaya, the love of your life. Are you ready to travel the world and start fulfilling your mission and vision and leave this institute? Now you have to let go of the very thing you surrendered to, because you can't grasp onto the thing. The thing is not the answer. Surrender is about an internal disposition. I'm going to constantly surrender to the will of God, divine source. And I know that that's going to change over time. So I can't cling on to the thing I surrendered to 9 months ago. I have to be able to let it go in its own time. And I had to do that with Inside Out Institute. And then I have to take the next leap. So it's about letting go and leaping into the next thing. That's what I would say.
Oh, that's so, so beautiful. I love that. And you just, like, your words are like a poem. And you said something really, really good that resonates with me. Everything happens in the moment that's supposed to happen. And everything has divine timing. And we know this. And in this, you know, communities, we know that and we trust that. When did you ever felt like, yeah, but sometimes I want to fast track the process. I want this to happen faster, you know, and you lose the patience, you know.
Oh, this happens to me all the time. I think one of my biggest learning curves is patience. I mean, even in my now, I'm like, I get this confliction. I want people to understand this. It's like, but if I don't have it yet, it's just because I'm not a vibrational match for it. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. If I just do the inner work and I abuse myself instead of taking my time into doing more inner work, just like in the hockey days, if I abuse myself, if I do more and more and more and beat myself on the ground, maybe I can get this result faster. For me, that's speaking on more stages now, leading more quantum flow sessions now to hundreds and thousands and millions, because I feel it in my potential and the energy. I'm like, it's here, like the abundance, everything is here, but I haven't seen it result yet. And that's where divine timing comes in. I think one of my quadruple brothers put it best. He says, a lot of us don't want to admit that God's healing for you in your life is on divine timing, and that it's not going to happen necessarily at the process that you want it to. And there's a song that's coming to mind. It's called Don't Rush Your Healing.
Oof.
As darkness has its teaching, and you can't rush your healing. That's what it's called, by Trevor Hall. You can't rush your healing. Because the faster you go, the more you wear out your own nervous system, the more you repeat the cycle. I got into a cycle a few years ago, or not more recent than I'd like to admit, where I was healing so fast that I was still repeating the same underlying pattern, but covering it up as healing. And I don't want people to do that. So please trust that God's healing for your life has its own divine timing. You have a lifetime to heal. Just slow down, breathe. If you're not being present, you're out of alignment with healing. Take your time, come back to your center, find love, and just move from there, and you can't go wrong.
Ooh, that was so good. I love this. You guys, write this down. Don't rush your healing. Darkness has its teaching, because, oh God, like, we are so alike, and that's why we vibe. But I want to go back to what you said, you know, patience is a lesson for me. What would you say? I always believe, yeah, patience, it has to be, but do you then trust if you have to be patient?
Explain what you mean by that. I'm curious.
And you know what? And I'm now just experimenting with this, because I know that from you, it's going to come so authentically and so beautifully. So I'm just like experimenting. I said, like, this is going to be such a beautiful conversation. Wherever we go, I know there's going to be a truth. So
yeah.
I feel that patience is really, like, how I see patience is, okay, let's say my 7-year-old pulls a tantrum, you know, and she's like misbehaving, and I need to be patient. I need to calm myself down. If I need to control myself, do I then trust that this, right? That was an example, but I think that patient, you have to control something, but then if you control, are you then in the flow? Is that
interesting?
Right? I don't know why this came up, but it's like, for me, controlling something, that's not flow. And for me, biggest manifestation is flow. When you're in the flow, when you're just like really surrendering, letting go and not thinking about the outcome, you don't need to manufacture anything. You don't need to control anything. Then the things happen so quickly.
Yeah.
And you don't need to be patient. What's your take? There's no right or wrong. This literally.
Yeah, no, very interesting. First thing I'll say is flow state is how we co-create with the divine. I always say that. It's a little poetic and it's beautiful. Flow state enters the co-creative space with the divine. And when we're in control, I guess if you were in full trust, I guess you wouldn't need patience. That's my only thought. A mentor of mine once said that faith and doubt cannot coexist at the same time. Impatience comes from, I doubt that this is working for my highest good. If you knew that every single thing, if you could see it from God's perspective, from the highest version of you's perspective, from the authentic you's perspective, that it's all happening for your highest good, you can get that greater lens. You'd be like, yep, my 7-year-old's throwing a tantrum. Beautiful. I know that God's working this together for my glory and for its goodness and for its purpose. And even if this is causing damage in me, I know this damage will be used for its greatest purpose and the highest good of the will of God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I am blissed out. I am grateful. I'm in trust. And now I can just let the process unfold. There's no impatience in that. Impatience is, why is it not the way I want it? Why is it not happening now? I've decided. We think that it's our decision. When it is our soul's decision, we made a decision, but our little self decision, it's just based on past programming. The past from hockey is telling me I have to be a certain level now to have a right to be okay with my life, to have a right to be okay, a right to live, because we used to say no right to live unless you were this good at hockey. It's the same bullshit that's playing out and why I need to lead millions of people today instead of 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now. It's the same crap. It's the same control from the past or the same bullshit from the past causing me to control the outcome in the future instead of just. But again, every time we let go and we surrender that part of ourselves, the trusting, the natural, the static, higher part of ourselves takes over that says, I'm in full trust. Mm-hmm. And when you're in full trust, you don't need patience. You are patience. That's it.
You are patient. And I love this. You know, you mamas or even like dads, anytime you feel like, oh my freaking God, I'm going to lose it. I think we need a clip that you just said, like how you need to just be blessed out and blissed out when your kid pulls a tantrum. I think we need a clip every time you feel like this. Listen to Saban. Now you're also a parenting coach. So I just
new role.
Bless you with a new role. This is beautiful. This is so, so cool. I also wanted to ask you, because one of your values is, and this is one of my values, and it took me so freaking long time to actually get this, how much love, and not just love, how much unconditional love we have. It's so abundant. We are so abundant with love. So tell me, like, when you think about unconditional love, what does that mean to you?
It's a great question. I'm going to see what I can bring in here. Unconditional love is the formless. I first thing I have to say is it's formless. People like to say unconditional love. Oh, I love another person unconditionally. Yes, you can, but only if God is in you, the formless source of God is in you so deep and is coming through your being. And that's when you can love unconditionally from the heart space, because the heart space takes you into God's grace. It's the formless source of love that always is. That's in every moment. I'll say that again. I want to slow that down. The formless source that always is, that always resides within. Our only goal, if we want to love unconditionally another person, is to touch that inside. Mm-hmm. Unconditional love becomes our natural state of being the deeper we go with awareness and seeing into that place. I don't have a better definition.
This is beautiful. Formless source that always is. It's so, so beautiful. And funny that you mentioned, like, you know, if you love another person, let's connect back to ourselves. So how do we unconditionally love ourselves? What would that be for you?
Yeah. I'm going to give a different answer today, somewhat radical answer. Some people say it's all about self-love. And I agree with that. And self-love practices are beautiful. And I honor them in mirror work and journaling. And I do these things myself sometimes, and they're amazing. I'm going to offer a counter perspective. What if you came to not know just your love, but God's love that's already inside of you? What if you put your attention to the love that God already has, to the God that already is, that is you? And you started focusing less on where you're broken and more on where God's perfect and whole, because then you would see the perfection in your own imperfection, because you would realize that you are the source of God within. So if we turn our attention from ourselves, we would learn the lesson that we are already whole. So it's almost like you have to step outside of yourself, but you have to transcend yourself to your actual authentic self, which is your unique expression of God. And you start to see the perfection of that. And boom, that is how I believe we can unconditionally love ourselves. Because if we just try and love the smaller version of us through practice, whenever we're stuck in form, we're always bound by conditions. I love myself because I like the way I look. I love myself as long as I'm with this person. That's not unconditional, because the second that changes, you feel like the same broken person. But if you focus on the one source that's unconditional, that never changes, and you put your attention to that, and I point up not because God's above us, but it's just like a metric. Like you look to the higher version higher of you, the self, higher vibration energy, the higher self that you are. And the big bridgeway comes in not saying God's separate from me and he's perfect and I'm not. God is this and omniscient and omnipresent and all loving. And I am God, so am I. And that bridgeway allows you to love yourself, in my opinion.
So, so cool. Like, this is a perfect explanation. And I love that you talk about also, we are not separate, because this is so true. Like, we are, you know, creators, we are God, and it's within us. There was a thought, and it's gone.
All good. We're just flowing.
Yes. I think that, you know, when most of the time when we talk about also unconditional love, I think it's always to relation to something, to relation to ourselves, to relation to someone else. I see it as a as love to anything, anyone. You know, I think also there is so much to love. Like literally opportunities, loving the, you know, everything that it is. And that is God. That is what you're saying. It's not just a person that you love. It's everything that exists. Because some people often say, yeah, money is energy. Yeah, but love is energy too. You know, you are love. It's not something that you do. You don't do love. You are love, right?
Yeah.
So everything that it is love. That's how I see it. From unconditionally, and we you're gonna be parent, or when this is out, you're already a dad. And sometimes I felt, you know, we unconditionally love our kids, and that's what unconditional love is. Until I realized, no, that is so limited. Our unconditional love can be just towards our kids, because we, you know, they came, you know, from us. That's such a limited perspective. Love is literally like, I love my TV, you know, you know, I love the space that I breathe. Love is everything and everywhere. It's so unlimited. It's so infinite.
Yes. That
goodness, like if we would see love in everything, like just imagine the world we would live in.
That's the world we're all hoping to create through our own unique expression of love. That's the authentic you. Summed up in a nutshell for everybody, the authentic you is your unique expression of love, how you uniquely bring love to this planet so the whole world sees it one day. And love, I wanted to say too, is an ever expansive force, a transformative power that constantly elevates and uplifts you and forces you, and doesn't force you, but offers you the opportunity to expand always into your greatest potential.
And you mentioned, you know, before, faith and doubt don't coexist. I always say fear and love don't coexist. And just imagine that we wouldn't be, you know, seeing the things that are happening now in the world if there wouldn't be fear. You know, I love to talk about this on and maybe your take on. I love to talk about this on this podcast, because Fearless and Successful podcast was created from that place of love. And people most of the time say, but you can be fearless. Yes, you can. When you operate from a pure love, that's where you're fearless.
Yeah, there's no thought. You don't even think about fear. You're just in no time, no space. And there's just love emanating from your heart. Yeah. Like you don't even think like, do I have fear right now? It doesn't cross your mind.
No.
That's why there's fear, not fear.
Fear has zero chance. When you are love, like fear has zero chance. And why I say this, because I experienced so much surrender and so much love during my all three labors, and people oftentimes ask me, like, but what was it that didn't, you know, you weren't scared? When you're afraid, when you're scared, you contract, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yep. And that's not love. You can't. And you said love is expansion. When you're in love, you expand and you literally like breathe into the life. Right. And when you expand, that's love. Fear has no chance.
Yeah.
So love is expansion. And it's the most beautiful. And I think it's the frequency, the state of the fastest manifestation.
Yeah.
You would know that because you do the quantum flow, and this is but basically what it is, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Another one, we you know, everything is authenticity here. So freedom, true freedom. What does freedom mean to you?
Thank you so much for asking that. You know, I was just doing an event on Saturday, called Ultimate Freedom, just because and it was a quantum flow event, and it's just about bringing somebody to the state where they experience true freedom, because true freedom is not external. True freedom is not people think it's geographic, time, location. I can travel where I want. I can work when I want. I can do what I want. I'm free. Yeah, Robin Williams was free. He had all those things, and look what happened. I wouldn't call that free. I would call freedom the inner liberation that comes from the source of peace inside. So when you touch the place of I am abundant peace, where I am just me. I have the complete freedom to be myself. I'm operating in full trust that if I just be myself in each moment, everything will unfold exactly as it's supposed to. And I have the peace of alignment that comes with that. Like when I got off that Mindvalley University stage, I felt peace for hours. I was completely free. Because I was me on the stage. So peace is the peace of alignment, and the freedom comes when we experience that peace unconditionally. And then from that peace, the co-creation, the flow state, the co-creation with the divine comes through, and naturally we manifest the time, locational. These are just results. They're external results that are rewards for our internal leaps of faith that we take. The faith we take into the heart of grace. And we find peace every time we surrender, every time we let go, every time we trust, and every time we dare to be ourselves, our real selves, and step into that higher authenticity. So I think freedom, authenticity, love go together, right? Mm-hmm. Freedom is the freedom to be truly yourself. And to be truly yourself is to be the unique expression of unconditional love that you are, mm-hmm. Period.
I love that. I always say that I came to this point where, you know, time, money is just an illusion. We know that, right? But to be really, truly free is to be me. And yeah. Not, you know, people, opportunities, things, nothing takes away that freedom of being me. When I'm truly liberated. And that's so fucking beautiful, you know, and it took me 40 years to get here, but God, like, it's so worth it, you know?
Yeah.
So I love that. I love that you actually said that. And you also said something, dare to be you, you know, dare to be yourself. When do we stop daring to be ourselves? Because kids dare to be themselves, right? When do you think like it stops? And then probably when we get older and we become more aware of what is really important, we start to dare again. But yeah. when do you, or what needs to happen that you stop daring to be yourself?
It's very simple, I believe, the answer. Something happens at a certain age, whether it's 7, 9, 12, 15. Someone tells you in one way or another that being yourself is not good enough.
You're too much.
It's too much. Shut up. Be quiet. Sit down. And you internalize this. I just learned that the authentic me is not allowed to shine anymore. Oh, there's this other role. These other kids are getting more attention. These other kids are getting more validation because they're being this way. I'm going to try and now be this way. Because a kid's going to do everything it can to survive. Mm-hmm. And to feel abandoned means death for a baby. for a helpless child.
Right.
So they're going to reprogram themselves and let the programming take over. That's when we stop daring to be ourselves. And the rediscovery process is saying, I have a choice in every moment. I'm either going to do what society is programming to do. I'm going to do what's coming up in my thought patterns and programming and then repeat the same pattern. Or I'm going to dare to take a leap of faith and say, man, even right now in this moment, I don't feel perfect. Even right now in this moment, I've been judging myself and I'm being real with you right now. Even right now, I'm scared that I'm not performing at a high enough level, like in this podcast. You know what I mean? But that's liberating. That's freeing. And that's when the authentic self comes out. And I just dare to take that risk over and over because I have no other way to live at this point. There's no other way for me to live. It's just, I am that I am. This is how I want to live my life. I can't see a life that's meaningful anymore without being authentic. I've realized I got to a point, Jenna, where I was like, no moment has any meaning without God in it and without the authentic you in it. We can phrase it any way you want. I've experienced time in a way where I just see each moment as this ever-passing moment that just comes and goes. And it's like, where's the meaning if everything just passes? Mm-hmm. In the depth you can go to by being your authentic self, that's when you create all the meaning. This is why I do what I do.
Yes. Yes. Oh, so, so on point. And that moment. And you said you're judging yourself. Let's go there before we wrap this up, because there were so many, like literally so many beautiful nuggets. Are you judging yourself or you're just being aware?
I'm aware of the judgments that are coming up that are saying, am I being authentic enough or can I be more authentic? That's what's happening.
Can you be more authentic?
And that's another judgment, because all I can be is me in the moment. And even if it's not perfectly authentic, it's the highest expression that I can give. So that I just have to realize the truth and separate myself from the judgment. But the perfectionism wants me to be more perfectly authentic, which is an oxymoron. Does not work. Because to be authentic is to be imperfect and to admit that.
So true. So you guys, for everyone who is on this path of being more authentic, being more liberated, self-expressed, aligned with their truth and God and whatever their divine is, what would you say to them? They're on that path, or they are maybe like, even you are on this path and you're still like kind of questioning yourself. What would you say to all these people?
I would say, trust yourself a little bit more. You have all the answers inside of you. It's time to stop listening to the outside and start listening to you are divine. So listen to the inner temple that is you inside. Find some quiet, find some space, come into your inner space, get in touch with grace, get in touch with beauty, get in touch with what you love about yourself and your soul, and just dare to go within. Just make that leap and say, what does Saban actually want in this moment? Huh? Because we get so clouded and we can't hear ourselves anymore. And that's when we repeat the same patterns for 10 years. But if we just got quiet, all the answers are right there for us. Just get a little quiet for a moment. That's the simple answer, but.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the biggest thing after COVID, that people are afraid to be by themselves. You know, people crave so much attention and external stimulation, right? It's just so scary to be, even the introverts are afraid to be by themselves, you know? So this is beautiful. And I listened to, I don't know, at one podcast, I love to listen to Jay Shetty when he talks about solitude. I think it was in the book, Eight Rules of Love. He was talking about having solitude practice once a day. And it can literally be just 5 minutes, just you and your thoughts and your presence and your divinity. That really, 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 I was so scared to listen to my thoughts. I do meditations. I meditate. But really, like, going so solo, finding places where it's just me and myself, sometimes felt so scary. But yeah. Now it became such a great practice for finding the answers within, because we all worked with mentors, and mentors, they guide you and they provide you with certain tools, blueprints, frameworks, whatever you want to call it. But you already have all the frameworks within you. you know? And for me, it's like, there is no cookie cutter. There is no one fits at all.
Yeah.
It's you who fit into everything when you're truly authentic to yourself, right?
Yeah.
To when you're truly
Amen.
Listening to yourself.
Yeah.
And for me, this next step is like, oh, okay, so I know that there is something special, something unique. I know that I'm birthing this thing. I'm also like, my book should supposed to be out, you know, so long ago. But it's so different. It's so different. It's so unapproved from how it's supposed to be. Even the launch is not going to be as it's supposed to be by any traditional marketing gurus. But I'm saying, you know what? This is where I need to dare to step out, to show my true gifts. You know, they're different, and I don't need to be afraid that I'm different. And I'm like, it's my own path.
Yeah.
So I think for me, that's the true beauty. That's the true value that you can bring into the world.
Yeah, and I just want to add to something you said earlier was about mentors and how they're great guides, but they just give you tools. The answers are within. The best mentors point you to the inner answers that you already have.
Right.
Anytime I'm working with someone, my goal is to step out of the way, let God come through, and let God and me hold space for this person to completely be themselves, to completely open up. And then we let the grace of God come through and touch the lives that it's meant to. That's always how it works. But it starts with, they have all the answers within. When I take people on authenticity journeys or quantum flow journeys, or what I call the ultimate authenticity journey, where I blend the two, I'm looking to uncover answers from their soul. But we only get there if they feel so safe, they feel so elevated, they feel alive in their body, they feel in total flow, and then the answers just pour through. But they have all the answers. I just ask the right question. I'm just the guiding framework. They uncover what they value at the depth of their soul. They define those values. They uncover their divine purpose. They uncover what their deepest pain is all by themselves. I don't do anything. I just hold space. It's beautiful to watch how much is actually inside of you if you dare to take that leap and so dare beautiful. To listen. For a moment.
So amazing. So, so amazing. I think like people listening to this, like, you know, get yourself a mentor that can be, that can hold the space, that can really allow you, give you permission to fully thrive within and through, you know, and not seeking that blueprint and giving you the answers, but you have to find answers within. Yeah. That's so, so cool. Last question that I ask all my guests, and it's really like, you already said so many beautiful, you know, stories. What was one story that was, we call them here on the podcast, fear to success story, where you needed to overcome a fear in your life, in your career, and now you see it as this was the milestone. This is really I took a leap of faith on it is yeah. My success.
This came through a sheer act of grace. So this might not fully answer your question because it almost feels like I didn't overcome it, but it was so dark and so deep that I knew I couldn't do it on my own. And for the first time, I trusted God fully to overcome it for me. And a lot of people praise my connection I have to the divine now, the authentic connection I have in the relationship I've built. And I say, well, you have no idea what it was like when I was disconnecting so deeply from my own body, like I talked about at the Mind Valley University stage, that I wanted to end my own life. And I saw no way out. And all of a sudden, somebody came to visit me and brought Jesus and God more deeply through Jesus into my life to give me an authentic version of God that loves you, that doesn't want to punish you, that's not abusing you, that's not against you. And this sheer act of grace shifted me from complete fear, from suicide ideation, from depression, to that night, even though I was disconnected from my emotions, disconnected from my thoughts, disconnected from life, I experienced something I'll never forget. I was in my hot tub that night and I experienced a spiritual joy. And my whole path then has been about finding the spiritual joy, peace, and love that goes beyond thought, goes beyond emotion. That is God, the spirit that is in you that resides. It's not your emotions. A lot of people, like some people, even spiritual communities associate it with, it's just how you feel. So you feel, yes, your feelings are important. But what happens when you feel so disconnected that you can't even feel God's presence? You still have to have the faith that God's there. And somehow, some way, I was able to hold on to faith. And because of that, I opened myself up to grace. And this moment forever changed my life. And I look back on it with so much gratitude. It's still not perfect, but for the most part, I look back on it with so much gratitude because I realize I had to leave of the old self. I had to die of all the thoughts and emotions and programs that I was carrying. I was being reborn. I just couldn't see it at the time. So you can't always see the lessons that are so divine that are coming through you this time. But that's where faith comes in. I don't have the answers, but God revealed the answers to me a year later. Said, this is why this happened, Saban. And I went, I wish I knew that back then, God, Jesus. Like, oh my God, I wish I knew that. But I wasn't, then I wouldn't have the chance to embody the faith.
Yeah, it came what we talked about. It came at the right time for you to learn the lesson. You know, it's always. I love Steve Jobs, like his commencement talk when he talks about how connecting the dots. Right, it's like when you connect the dots back to this point. Oh yeah, this had to happen then and there.
Yeah.
So I can become or step into this version that is me. Right. And I also like, I love, you know, that you, the power of reflection and coming back to truth, it's so, so beautiful. And I really, really honor you for that, for being that advocate for that, you know, for truth and just, yeah, everything you are is just, yeah, it is spiritual joy, peace, and love. Fuck, you know, it really Thank is, you. You know, you can feel it. It's not what you say. As I said at the beginning, it's not what you say. Yeah. It's how you make people feel. And yeah. That's what it is. You are Thank true you. Embodiment of it.
Thank you.
Amazing stuff. Oh my God. We could talk like, right?
Yeah. We keep going.
If people want to experience more of joy and love with you, what would be the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, there's many ways, but I would say the number one way I'm going for right now that I learned from somebody at Mind Valley University is just find me on Instagram at Sabin F Karma. So SabinFKRMA, Karma, like the spiritual concept karma. Yep, that's my last name. And just DM me authenticity. Just DM me the word authenticity, drop that in my inbox, and we can set up a time to chat, and I can see how I can best serve you. I have a variety of ways I can serve you, whether it's through my YouTube channel, whether it's through my own podcast, Way Back From Hell, whether it's through Quantum Flow, whether it's through Authenticity Journey, or combining the two. But I want to get to know you personally and tailor to how I can serve you best and what you need. And for that, I would completely free consultation call just to see where you're at, see if we vibe, see if we resonate, just like we're doing now, like just we vibe, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I would just take the same time and I would hold that space for you that I was talking about. So you can maybe for the first time come to unlock your true self. And even if that's the last time we ever spoke, I hope that there was an impact on your life, a life-changing one. So that's yeah, that would so, say DM so me authenticity.
Generous. So, so generous. You guys, you know, I think... take this opportunity if you feel like aligned. And not everyone will be like, oh fuck, what this guy is talking about. But if you truly feel and you found value in this conversation and you truly feel connected to Saban, you know, dare to take this opportunity and have a conversation with him, because truly, 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 it can be the shift that you need in your life. He can truly like help you to make shift, to move forward, to step into your true self. I do truly believe that. I honestly, wholeheartedly believe that he is capable of holding space. And I saw, you know, deep healing happening just with your presence. And I'm not going to say healing. I wanted to say this because I think you're going to so resonate with this concept. When you were talking about being whole in the presence of the God, I came with this like thought. We always talk about healing, but we actually don't need to heal. We like you said, we're not broken, right? We don't need to focus on that, because what if instead of healing, we are actually holding all the time, like holding, holy. Like we are whole, you know, all the time.
Yeah,
just you know. Have more holding in your life, because you are whole. You know, we don't need to heal anything.
Yeah, and it's waking up to our wholeness. That's what holding is.
Waking
up to the wholeness.
Waking up to our wholeness. I love that. So you guys, you know, wake up to your wholeness. DM Sabin on Instagram with word authenticity, and you can add fearless as well, so he will know that this is coming from this podcast. But you guys, we would love and appreciate if you could, you know, screenshot this episode and, you know, just tag us on your Instagram stories and share with us what was one aha moment. I know there were so many, but one aha moment. We would love, love, love to hear from you. We would so appreciate if you take the time and share with us your feedback. Oh, so much serenity in this moment. So much, like, yeah, it's such a honor to talk to you, Sabin, and I'm so, so grateful that, you know, in this moment when you're expecting your baby and you're supposed to be with your beautiful Kaya, who I also met, and you took the time to be here. I deeply, truly, truly, truly deeply honor you and see you, and I'm so grateful. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It was an honor. And this, the conversation was surreal because it just flowed into the heart of the divine and perfect time, everything, perfect place. Everything was imperfectly perfect, and perfection came out of us being human. And it's so beautiful to watch and unfold. And these are timeless moments we create. So I'm just so grateful and blessed to be a part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, to next time. When we get to co-create.
Yes.
You guys have fun and don't forget to be awesome. You will have all the notes, all the links in the chat, in the description. And yes, that's it. See you soon. Ciao.
Yeah.
My fearless soul, thank you so much for tuning in and taking the time to listen to this episode. I appreciate you. And I'm so excited to hear from you. If you haven't yet, please go to kite.link/insider and leave a review. Extra points if you screenshot this episode and post it on your IG stories and tag me at Diana Lugoli and tell me what's your big takeaway. With that being said, I'm sending you a daily dose of D. I love you and I'm so, so grateful for you. Till infinity. Mwah.